Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Selling Your Price, How to Escape the Race to the Bargain Basement. On behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dwayne Sparks, author of Selling Your Price, How to Escape the Race to the Bargain Basement. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Dwayne Sparks, chairman and founder of The Sales Board, shares with us his insights on asking for and receiving your price by using the action selling process to help clients understand they are not purchasing a commodity product, but rather one that is highly differentiated by the value you and your company offer. And so now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Dwayne Sparks, author of Selling Your Price, How to Escape the Race to the Bargain Basement, and chairman and founder of the Sales Board, an organization of sales management and training professionals who teach the critical selling skills that have the greatest impact on gaining customer commitment. For more than two decades, Dwayne and his organization have trained sales professionals in the use of his unique action selling method, certifying over 350,000 salespeople in more than 3,000 organizations. These individuals and their companies have subsequently realized a dramatic increase in sales, resulting in six times the revenue increase of similar firms. Dwayne, welcome back to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. Glad to be back with you.
Glad to have you back. And as our listeners know from the podcast that hopefully they've recently listened to on action selling, this is the second of our series of five interviews covering all of your books in the action selling series. You know, since it is just book two and we only have one podcast preceding this one, I was wondering if we could start our conversation today, if you would mind briefly describing the action selling process for our listeners.
I'd be happy to do that. Action selling is a step-by-step system for managing a sales call. Actually, for managing the entire sales process that all of us go through as we help our customers make their buying decisions. It starts with planning a sales call all the way to follow up on a sale that's been made. And it's based on the documented fact that every customer makes five critical buying decisions in the course of every major sale. And whether the customer realizes it or not, these decisions are made in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just briefly explain to you what those five buying decisions are. At first, the customer decides whether to buy the salesperson. What this means is that I can't sell my product until I first have sold myself. So the customer's evaluating things like, do they trust me? Do they like me? Do they feel like I have their interests in mind, or am I just after an opportunity to make some money? So that's the first buying decision about the salesperson.
Okay.
The second buying decision is, has the customer bought my company? So they evaluate things about my company. Is it reputable? Is it a good match for them or their company? Third buying decision has to do with the product, and they make a decision about whether or not it's the right solution for them. And how does it compare to competitive offerings? Fourth mm-hmm. buying decision is about the price of the product or the value. They make a decision about whether the product is worth the money. And finally, they decide the time to buy or when to buy. How urgent are the needs for the product? And when must I decide to make my purchase decision? So these five buying decisions are decisions that every customer makes. Well, it just makes sense that our sales process should help them make those five buying decisions.
Sure.
And it should do it in a predetermined order, you know, the same order that customers make their buying decisions. So what we have is an action selling system that helps the salesperson walk arm in arm with the customer as they approach a sale and a decision about whether or not to buy. So that's the framework of the action selling system based on the principles of how buyers buy and how sellers should sell to help customers make the incremental decisions that they make as they decide their overall buying decision.
Okay. And Dwayne, I know you also did research which forms the basis of selling your price. And I was wondering if you could relate to our audience, what are two or three of the important findings that your research revealed that resulted in the authoring of Selling Your Price?
Certainly. Several, I'd say, very interesting concepts emerged as we did this research. And by the way, the research was done on 722 respondents. About one-fourth of them were what we would call C-level or top-level executives.
Okay.
A little over a third were vice presidents or sales directors. So these are management people in the sales business. And about 40% were active sales professionals. So these are the people that were surveyed to arrive at the information that we gained from the research. First thing that we I think was remarkable is that nearly 90%, 89% said that price competition is a growing and difficult issue for the sales profession. 99%, almost all of C-level mm-hmm. executives felt that their business was not to compete on price, but to compete based on value. And at the same time, this surveying of salespeople, we found that 50% of salespeople are giving discounts to match competitors 70% of the time. So the interesting thing there was that companies have decided to be in the value business, but what's happening down below at the sales level is that discounting is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
The third interesting thing that I've learned from our research is that the C-level thinks that the sales, their sales force follows a consistent sales process. But when we compare that to what's being observed by sales management,
yes,
they felt that more than 50% of salespeople did not have a consistent sales process. So it seems like a C-level is a little bit out of the loop
mm-hmm.
on how the salespeople manage the sales process out in the field. They think it's a lot better than it actually is.
Yeah, that sounds like a tremendous disconnect between those two groups. So let me confess some of my sins, too. I find that I struggle with maintaining the price of the products and services that I offer clients, particularly after the initial sale has been made, you know, because I'm feeling pressure like those other sales folks from the client who's asserting that, hey, you're offering me a commodity item. You know, I can get it cheaper elsewhere. And to fully confess those sins, I sometimes buy into that, and I start kind of seeing it from that perspective, and then I cave in and I approach the sale or the add-on sale as a commodity sale instead of having something that's differentiated. So what I was wondering was, in your work with salespeople, what are the several primary reasons that they, or as I've just admitted, I, fall into this trap?
Thank you for being honest, Nathan. We call it the race to the bargain basement, and yes, it is a trap. Most salespeople I've found are ineffective at handling price objections. In fact, mm-hmm. in the survey, 8 out of 10 sales executives say that most of their salespeople are ineffective at dealing with price objections.
Okay.
So, you know, that is part of the problem. But at the same time, when customers are surveyed, the number one reason why they choose one, at least what they say, why they choose one company instead of another is due to the sales relationship that they have with the salesperson. So, you know, another seemingly disconnect, as you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we know that top salespeople are better at getting higher margins than other salespeople. So there is a way. Some people are more effective at doing this, at justifying, you know, their prices. Now, in my opinion, the number one reason for discounting is the failure of a salesperson to be able to differentiate what they offer from the competition. Another way to say that is that the average sales rep's customers see his or her products as undistinguishable,
okay.
which means that what it boils down to, the only difference that customers are likely to see between products is price.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, be honest with you, Nathan, if you can't find a way to differentiate your product or service in the mind of the buyer,
yeah.
then you really don't deserve to get a higher price for it.
Okay.
So bottom line, and summarize this whole topic, is the inability to find a differentiated sales position for the product is the reason why we are seeing the race to the bargain basement.
Dwayne, in a similar vein then, what's occurring in the buyer's thinking that leads them to perceive that the salesperson's product or service is really just a commodity and that it's not differentiated?
Okay, one thing that I think would really be helpful here is to understand, you know, difference between a price buyer and a value buyer.
Okay.
From research, you know, 10% of customers are pure price buyers.
Mm-hmm.
25% are pure value buyers, and the remaining 65%, what we found is they start out acting like a price buyer, but then they wind up becoming a value buyer if they perceive an important difference in one product offering from another. So what's going on here is you've got 10% price buyers, 65% that start out acting like price buyers. So to the salesperson, it sounds like 75% of buyers are buying purely on price. So if we buy into that, you know, we're going to be doing a lot more discounting and matching a lot more of the competitors' prices in order to get business. Because there's only 10% that are purely after price and would not consider value, we really need to have a way of going about finding ways that our product can be different, finding ways that our company can be different, and finding ways that you know, we can be different as salespeople and add value to the whole equation. I'll tell you a quick story, Nathan.
Okay, yeah.
A few years ago, I was working with a company that sold lumber. It was a lumber yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about this value equation and how to differentiate products and services, that kind of thing. And one of my students raised his hand and he said, you know, Dwayne, you don't quite understand our business. In our business, price is the only differentiator. And I said, tell me what you mean by that. And he says, okay, last week I lost a deal, and it was, you know, $27,000 worth of materials, and I was $40 higher than the competition. So the customer decided to buy from the competitor. And you know, Nathan, I thought to myself, in $27,000 worth of materials, you know, I can see a huge pile of lumber and nails and other materials that are going along with this whole project.
Yeah.
There wasn't $40 worth of differentiator in the product. And this person was unable to find $40 worth of value that his company could bring to the table over another company. And he wasn't able to find $40 worth of value in working with himself. Now, I didn't say that to him, but you know, that's what I thought. There's tremendous opportunity to find ways to be different and more valuable to the company, even though the product, you know, a lumber is lumber and nails are nails. Even though the product is commodity-like, there are things around the product that the salesperson adds to the whole equation, and that the company that provides those products can add to the whole equation. The key is to find ways that the customer will perceive some value add.
Yeah, and you know, that is a great example because as you were going through it, well, people will know when I say the two big warehouse kind of hardware lumber stores, but I'll leave them nameless. You know, we have them, and they're relatively close to my home, and I do go to one over the other. And it's not because the products are any different. They carry all the same brands. And it's not because the price is any different, because they're all relatively the same price. But it's a bit about how I'm treated in the store. It's about the advice that I get when I have questions. It's those differentiators that they have in place within their respective businesses that I go to one over the other. And I'll spend an extra $40 on some project that's a lot less than $27,000 because of those small differentiators in their stores.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think what we need to understand as salespeople, Nathan, is that the battleground is not forged on a feature and benefit comparison of one product over the other.
Mm-hmm.
The battleground is inside the customer's mind. You win or lose based on your ability to be perceived as uniquely valuable in the mind of the customer. So the salesperson that does the best job of uncovering the customer's personal needs and issues and showing how they can be satisfied with their solution, that's the salesperson that wins. So that's the key there, is developing a better understanding of the personal needs and issues of that particular person, and then showing how you can be a better solution than anybody else. You will win. So all of us try to do that, but the ones that do it the best are the ones that win when, you know, all things are equal.
Okay. All right. Well, Dwayne, now that we've talked about the primary reasons that salespeople fall into the trap and the buyer's perspectives, understanding those two items, what can the salesperson do then to specifically differentiate his or her products and services?
Nathan, it's all about questioning.
Okay.
In the action selling program that we talked about earlier, we have provided salespeople with a questions map. And that map covers all of the bases, or all the categories of questions that need to be asked during a given selling situation. Now, there are some categories that have to do with needs, both for specific products, but also for you know, the individual personal needs of the buyer. Well, in the lumber example, I may want to ask some questions about that person's, you know, need for timely delivery, that person's need for a return goods services in case too many goods were ordered or there were some pieces that were unusable. You might get involved with, you know, when's the last time you placed an order for materials like this? And, you know, not everything was delivered the way you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Or when's the last time you had a situation where you needed a quick delivery of something else? Now, obviously, you have to have a solution for what you're asking about. But the person that inquires at a deeper level at what their personal issues, what their company issues might be, you know, the kinds of things that create problems for them or provide solutions, those are the things you need to understand at a deeper level than the next guy. And when you do that, then your product is perceived as a better solution, even though, you know, the 2x4 that you have, this might be exactly the same as the 2x4 that somebody else has.
Right, and again, thinking back to my examples at the local bulk hardware stores, you know, sometimes that solution too is not one in which I end up buying a 2x4, because what their value is they came to understand my deeper need and had a different solution that was better than the one I was conceiving of and was seeking to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And then they,
that's a value added, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's tremendous value add. Tremendous. Dwayne, in selling your price, you revealed that regardless of where or when in the sales relationship that a salesperson is with their client, that they are always in the action selling process. And I got to admit that concept was incredibly revealing to me as I read the book, because I hadn't thought of that before. So would you describe for our audience how action selling actually helps the salesperson deal with the client's demands for a lower commoditized price?
Well, again, the key is in the questioning of the customer to understand at a mm-hmm. deeper level what their situation is. As you do that, you become viewed as a consultant. You become to develop value in the relationship that the customer will have with yourself. And when you do that, what are you doing? You're selling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Once the customer has made a decision that they like you, that they trust you, they feel you have their interests in mind, the rest of these decisions become far easier to have them make in your favor. You know, conversely, if you're not doing a very good job of selling yourself, and let's say you do a sloppy job of selling the company behind the salesperson, we're going to put a lot of pressure on the remaining decisions, and one of those decisions is, of course, price. So
mm-hmm.
imagine as you do a great job of selling yourself and then selling your company and then presenting your product as a solution to the needs that you agreed on, all of a sudden the need for lowest price diminishes. So the importance of that decision gets smaller as the other decisions preceding that are made positively in your favor. So
okay.
That's the strategy, is and you sell yourself by demonstrating your interest, by being consultant, asking, you know, questions so you can understand their situation at a deeper level. People have a very big need to feel understood. And as you enter a decision regarding hardware or the commodity kind of things that we've been talking about, the person that does some consulting with you and perhaps makes some recommendations that were mm-hmm. far different than you were even thinking, and I've had this happen to myself over and over again, where, you know, what I'm thinking about and what I wind up buying may be two different things based on
some recommendation that the salesperson makes. And that's a professional approach, and that's one that's valuable, and that's one where you take the onus off of the price of the item that you're purchasing.
Okay. And one last question in that kind of the same train of thought. So many buyers nowadays are trained on how to negotiate and really squeeze their suppliers on price. What advice do you have for our listeners on how to negotiate with these educated buyers?
Okay. Here's the dilemma that we have.
Okay.
There are some buyers out there, and we're talking normally in the business-to-business level,
mm-hmm.
who really don't have the authority to buy based on any criteria other than price.
Okay.
So here's what happens. There are three types of buyers in most business-to-business settings. You know, you have the ultimate decision-maker, the person that controls the budget for the decision, and that person can say no when everybody else says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a couple other buyers that are influencers. One, we call them the user buyer, and that's somebody that either uses the product or manages people that use the product. Those are influencers, and, you know, they are, it's important to sell to all of these people, but they may not be able to buy based on, you know, added value. The other type of user is we call it a specialist buyer, somebody that mm-hmm. evaluates the technical specifications of your product or service and makes a value judgment based on that. And some of these buyers have been given the authority to buy based on price, but have not been given the authority to evaluate things based on, you know, the value presented.
Okay.
So if we're calling on someone that cannot, we're going to just be frustrated if we're calling on somebody that cannot buy based on value but can only buy based on price. I think what we'll find in those situations,
mm-hmm.
We need to get other buyers involved in the decision-making process. So we have to find a way to call on the additional buyers and get them involved, so, you know, those buyers that can buy based on value.
So, in other words, we need to, in a way, break out of just having to deal with that one buyer that can only deal on price.
In many situations, that's the answer.
Yeah.
And that's how you break out of the bargain basement. You need
okay.
to orchestrate your sales process so you can include additional buying authorities in order to find those that are able to make decisions that include value considerations.
Excellent, excellent. Dwayne, I want to thank you again for joining us on the Strategy Driven Podcast, not just for sharing with us your time today, but also the insights on selling your price and avoiding entering the race to the bargain basement. I know our listeners understand that I greatly appreciate business novels. And once again, I thoroughly enjoyed the business novel approach that you've taken with selling your price, because you've really put the reader in the minds of both the salespeople and the buyers so that they can fully understand what's taking place throughout the selling and the purchasing processes. You know, I hope that not only will our listeners pick up a copy of Selling Your Price for themselves, but I hope more importantly that they'll go forward and actually start to practice the action selling method and escaping the race to the bargain basement themselves. They can also find a copy of Selling Your Price to view and to purchase on your website at actionselling.com. So Dwayne, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Nathan, for having me. I hope that I've helped you and your listeners improve their ability to get their price.
And I know you have. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Dwayne Sparks for being with us today and sharing his insight on asking for and receiving your price. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Dwayne Sparks and Selling Your Price at www.actionselling.com and www.thesalesboard.com. Until next time, so long.